I want to ask you tonight, how often do you pray? How often do you stop your day to pray? Or how often do you pray while your day is not stopping? How much time do you spend in prayer? And when you do pray to God, what do you pray about? Have you ever sat down to pray and thought, you know, I'm not even sure what I need to pray about right now? You ever sat down to pray and you thought, well, what is it that needs to be prayed for at this time? How am I supposed to pray? You ever sat down to pray and you prayed and then you thought, was there something else that I should have prayed for? Did I forget to pray for something that I should have prayed for and I don't have it here before me? The disciples heard Jesus pray. And they said, that's what I want to do. That's how I want to pray. This is someone who knows how to talk to God. Do you know how to talk to God? What do you do when it's time for you to talk to God? There are some individuals, when they pray publicly, you know that that is somebody who prays privately. You hear someone pray and you know that's not the first time they've talked to God that week. You know it's not the first time they've talked to God that month. You know it's somebody that talks to God often. How often do you talk to God? When you sit down to pray, how long are your prayers? Or how short are your prayers? I want to share with you tonight the idea that you can pray to God and have a complete, as far as the New Testament teaches us, a complete prayer in only 6 sentences. How long are your prayers? How many sentences do you use in your prayers? I want to suggest to you tonight that the New Testament tells us there are 6 sentences that ought to be a part of our prayers. And if these 6 sentences will make up our prayers on a daily basis, we will be praying for those things that God tells us to pray about. Now, let me warn you that these 6 sentences probably will have a lot of commas in them. Okay? They'll probably have a lot of semicolon in it, only 6 periods, but they might have a lot of ands and commas and semicolons. But here tonight are 6 sentences, and these are not, don't misread this, these are not 6 sentence prayers. That you will pray. It's not, well, I'll pray this sentence prayer in the morning and I'll pray this sentence prayer at night and I'll pray this sentence prayer at lunchtime. You could do that, I suppose. I suppose you could take these 6 sentences, these 6 elements of prayer and pray them at different parts of the day. That's not really what is in mind here, but this has in mind, when you sit down to truly talk to God, here's 6 sentences that need to be a part of it. Now, sometimes These sentences will stand alone, but oftentimes they all need to come together. And except for the first sentence, the rest of these sentences can pretty much go in any order that you want them to go. They do not have to go in a particular order, but the first sentence seems to be right at the beginning. It is a sentence of exaltation. And here's, we're going to give the starting words of every sentence in this prayer. You've got to get the rest of the words in the prayer, but the starting words of your sentence of exaltation, the first sentence in your prayer, need to be, you are. You're talking to God. You're talking to God, and the first sentence in your prayer needs to be exalting God for who He is. And this is not for God's benefit. It's not to remind God who He is. He doesn't have some timers like some of us have some timers. He knows it all and He hadn't forgotten who He is. So this isn't to remind God, oh, by the way, God, here's who You are. These are things that we need to say to remind us who God is. And obviously this list could be very long, but let's just talk about a few things. When we pray, we can say to God, God, You are worthy. You are worthy above all others. You are more worthy than anyone else on this earth. You are worthy. That's what they are singing around his throne. It's about how worthy he is of all things. We need to remind ourselves by praying to God, God, you are worthy. We can pray to God and say, God, you are holy. There is no God like you. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. When we pray to God, we need to lift him up. We need to exalt him as the holy God that he is. When we pray to God, we can pray, God, you are awesome. Have you ever told God that? And again, not that he needed to hear it, but that you needed to hear it. Have you ever told God how awesome he is? We sing a song, our God is an awesome God. Have you ever said that to God? Have you ever said, God, you are awesome? Has he ever answered one of your prayers in such a way that it was so blatantly obvious to you that you just said, God, you are awesome? We need to say that in our prayers. You go back and you read the Psalms and it talks a number of times in prayer and exaltation to God. Great and awesome is our God. Do you believe that? Do you believe that great and awesome is our God? If you believe that, that needs to be a part of your prayers. Telling God how awesome he is, exalting him. When we pray to God, we need to tell him, you are sovereign. You are in control. There is nothing that you cannot do. It's interesting to go over to Daniel chapter 4 and to read what Nebuchadnezzar had learned about God. And if you go over to Daniel chapter 4 and read what Nebuchadnezzar had learned about God, he had learned about God that no one can restrain him. Really? No one can restrain him. And then God say, oh, what have you done? You've restrained me. I can't do anything. No, nobody can do that. The psalmist talked about God and talked about his dominion and talked about the fact in Psalm 115 and verse 3 that his dominion is an everlasting dominion. God's in control. Of him, through him, and for him are all things. Romans 11 verse 36. God, you are sovereign. You are in control. You are merciful. You are a God that is more merciful to me than I deserve. How often in the Psalms do we read about God being merciful? Is it Psalm 136 that over and over in every verse we are reminded about how merciful God is? And when we pray to God, we can say, God, you are faithful. There's no words in the Bible that are more meaningful to me than those words. God is faithful. Do you believe that? We serve a God. We serve a God who is awesome. We serve a God who is holy. We serve a God who is mighty. We serve a God who is worthy and sovereign and merciful and faithful. And at the beginning of our prayers, that needs to be on our hearts. And these aren't just meaningless, these aren't just trite sayings. These aren't just words that we have that we say before we get to the real part of our prayer. This is the real part of our prayer. Exalting our God. And so here's your first sentence. You need to start the first sentence of your prayer saying, you are. And then tell God who he is to you. I don't know if this is going to work. I've been thinking about this for the last couple of minutes, and I hope it's going to work. Brad, you're going to need to be on your toes back there. To show that the other parts of this prayer do not have to be in a particular order. I've got three junior high boys over here that are going to get to decide the order of the rest of tonight's sermon. I don't know how that's going to work. So, to show that the rest of these sentences don't have to be in a particular order, I'm going to let them one at a time. You're going to give me a number, either 3, 4, 5, or 6. And that, Brad, that's going to be the slide number. Whatever number they give me, that's going to be the next slide. So Josiah, I'm going to start. You can choose 3, 4, 5, or 6. And that's going to be the next sentence of our prayer tonight. And then Daniel, you get whatever's left. And then EJ, you only get to choose between two numbers. But that's going to show us the fact that this can go in any order. All right, so Josiah, what 3, 4, 5, or 6? What do you want?
5.
All right, sentence number two for us tonight is the sentence of appreciation. The sentence where we say to God, thank you for. Now, how many things could be on that list in your sentence? Do you see a lot of commas? in this sentence? Do you see a lot of ands? Don't call this a run-on sentence because that sounds bad. You're not supposed to have a run-on sentence, but could this be a long sentence? Thank you for. How often does the Bible tell us to be thankful? In Colossians 2 and verse 4, it says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant with thanksgiving. Be watchful for thanksgiving. Keep your eyes open for things to thank God for. Do you do that? Are we thankful for all things as God tells us to be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18? So many things to be thankful for, but let's just talk about a few. Thank you, God. Thank you for your love. In Ephesians 2 talks about a God who is rich in mercy, and with a great love, He has loved us. How great is His love? That He took us when we were dead in sins, verse 5, and made us alive in Christ. His great love is demonstrated while we were yet sinners, Romans 5 says, Christ died for us. Thank you for your love. Thank you for loving me when I didn't deserve to be loved. Thank you for your gifts. In James chapter 2, James chapter 1, verse 17, every good. And he didn't have to use the word every again because it's understood, but he used it anyway a second time. Every good and every perfect gift. He could have just said every good and perfect gift, and we would have understood that the perfect would have had the understood the word every would be over there, but he used it again anyway. Every good and every perfect gift comes from where? Walmart, Amazon, Best Buy, ThinkGeek.com. I mean, where does every good and perfect gift come from? From above. From God. Everything we have comes from God. When was the last time we thanked Him for every gift that He gives to us? And not just in a general way, but to thank Him specifically for those gifts. Thank you for your church. It's interesting. When Paul wrote his letters, how often he expressed thanks to the church. Thanks to the church and thanks for the church. How often do you thank God for His church? Not the church building. You can thank Him for the church building if you want. That's not bad. But that's not this part. Thank Him for the church, and not just the worldwide church, but thank Him for your family at Palm Beach Lakes. Thank you, Lord, for my church family. Thank you for your word. Do you know what a treasure we have in having the Word of God? Do you know what a treasure we have that we have the completed revelation of God? Everything He wants us to know in a compact edition. Some of you, many of you have got it on your phones. Same place you can listen to music, same place you can send a text message, same place you can check your email, you can read your Bible, and you might even randomly make a phone call with that thing. But you can check and read the Bible anytime you want. Do you thank God that you can do that? Thank God for His Word. Over in Psalm 119 and verse 162 over there, where it's an interesting statement. I believe it's there where David said, at midnight, I want you to think about this. He says, at midnight, I will arise and give thanks. Now, you know what Psalm 119 is about, right? Every verse in those 176 is talking about the Word of God. So something about the Word of God is going to be in Psalm 119 and verse 62. At midnight, I rise and give thanks to you because of your righteous judgment. When was the last time you got up in the middle of the night to thank God for His Word? To thank God for His righteous judgments? We need to thank God. We need to thank God for the fact that we as His children have the privilege of being called His children because of His Son. Paul makes an interesting statement in the last verse of 2 Corinthians chapter 9 when he says, thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. We've got His gifts, every good and perfect gift. We know what those gifts are, but the gift of His Son, we ought to thank God every day that He gave His Son to die for us. We need to thank God for His promise. In a chapter, an entire chapter that is dedicated to the resurrection, resurrection of Christ and the guarantee of our own resurrection over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 57. It says, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Christ. Thanks be to God that we have the victory as Christians. We have victory over death and we have the ultimate victory in heaven. And He has promised us, I go to prepare a place for you. Thank you, God, for preparing a place for me. He has promised us that we will be received unto Him. Thank you, God, for the promise that you've given unto me. That if I follow you faithfully, I've got a home waiting for me in heaven. I don't know how long your list is. I don't know how many commas it's going to have in this sentence. But in your prayers every day, we need to have a sentence that starts, thank you for. Daniel, where are we going? What? Three. All right, Brad, we're going to sentence number three, slide number three, and it is the sentence of supplication. What does that mean? Look at the first six letters of the word supplication. You are asking for supplies. This is the sentence of our prayers that gets the most attention, perhaps. This is the sentence of our prayers where we spend the most time. Sometimes this is the only sentence that we pray. But God has told us to pray it. Please help me. Now sometimes that's the entirety of the sentence. Sometimes there's a period after the word me. And that is understood what it is. But are there not many things that we need to thank God, pray to God, and ask for His help? You know, in Philippians chapter 4, He tells us to do that. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. He tells us, bring me your requests. Don't hold them back. Bring them to me. And we have confidence in 1 John chapter 5. We have confidence that whatever we ask of Him, He not only hears us, but He will give us those petitions that we ask. So what do we need to ask God for? Again, your list could be a mile long, and I'm sure it is a mile long, but what do you ask God to help you with? When you think about what the Bible tells us to ask God for, there in the prayer that was read from Luke chapter 11 and verse 3, give us day by day our daily bread. God, please help me with my daily needs. I wonder how many of us pray that. Wonder how many of us just take our daily needs being already supplied for granted. Well, I don't need to ask for food. I've got plenty of food. I don't need to ask for water. I've got plenty of water. I don't need to ask for a place to stay. I've already got that. I don't need to ask for clothes. I already have clothes. I wonder how often we take what we have for granted and say, well, I don't need to bother God. Here it is. Give us, how many days do you need your daily needs? How often do we need to ask God? God, please help me. Please help me to not take them for granted. Please help me to not take you for granted. Over in a parallel passage in Matthew chapter 6, He tells us four times at the end of Matthew chapter 6, do not worry, do not worry, do not worry, do not worry about your daily needs. Instead, do what? Ask God for help. A part of this prayer, when we say, God, please help me, this prayer of supplication is to pray, Lord, help me with my relationships. How often do you pray that? How often do you pray, God, please help me as a husband? Please help me as a wife. Please help me as a father. Please help me as a mother. Please help me as a child. Please help me as a brother. Please help me as a sister. Please help me as an employer. Please help me as an employee. Please help me as a neighbor. Please help me. Please help me. And how many relationships do we have with the scores of people in our life? Lord, please help me in my relationships to be Christ, to live like Christ, to respond like Christ, to treat others like Christ in whatever the situation. Lord, please help me with my relationships. Lord, please help me overcome temptations. Isn't that a part of that prayer? Lead me not into temptation. Is there any day that you don't need to pray those words? Is there any day of your life when you don't need to pray, God, please help me not to give in to temptation. Lord, please help me to overcome the evil one. Lord, please help me to defeat the devil today. Lord, the devil's got my number. Please help me to overcome him. Is there any day that you don't need to pray that? Deliver me from the evil one. Lord, please help me overcome temptation. Help me to control my eyes. Please help me to control my tongue. Please help me to control my thoughts. Please help me to control my actions. Any day we don't need to pray for God's help. He says, let your request be made known unto me. He says, pour your heart out to me and tell me what you need. On a daily basis, I need this, and I'm sure many of you need it. God, please help me to overcome my temptations. God, please help me to have courage to talk to other people about you. I am not ashamed to spread the gospel. Well, Lord, please help me not to be ashamed. Lord, instead of being ashamed, please give me the courage to open doors for the gospel to be spread. Lord, please give me the courage to walk through those doors that are open before me. Please help me not to be ashamed to tell others about Jesus. Please give me the courage. In Acts chapter 4, Peter and John were arrested, thrown in prison, beaten, and threatened if they would ever speak about Jesus again. Has that ever happened to you? Nothing like that's ever happened to us. They got out of prison, got back to the house where the apostles were gathered together, and what did they do? Did they complain? Did they say, oh, woe is me. Oh, do you have any Neosporin and some Band-Aids? Do you have any gauze? Do you have anything you can wrap these? I'm dying here. You got any Advil? You got any ibuprofen? I'm dying here. They beat me to... What did they do? Lord, Acts 4 and verse 29, give us boldness that we may speak your word. That's what they got arrested for to begin with, and they said, Lord, give us more courage to do it even more. Do we need to do that today? As the word of God is being suppressed in every part of our nation and our culture, Lord, give us the courage to stand up for you. Lord, please give me opportunities to serve other people. How many times do we ask God to help us to find people in the church and out of the church, as we have opportunity, to do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith? God, please open doors of opportunity so that I can serve other people. Lord, please help me to be faithful. That's what He's called us to do. Be faithful until death. How often do you just say, God, I need your help? God, some days that sounds kind of easy. And God, some days I don't know that I can make it. Please help me to be faithful. God, I'm not asking you to help me to be perfect. I know I can't be. God, please help me to be faithful. Please help me, 1 Corinthians 6, to remember I don't belong to me. Please help me to remember I belong to you. That I need to use me and all that I have in faithful service to you. That needs to be a sentence in our prayers every day. All right, EJ, what's left? He did three, he did five. You got four or six. Four, Brad. Sentence number four in our prayer to God is the sentence of intercession. Now it's not, please help me. It is, Lord, please be with. And those are the first words of this sentence. Lord, please be with. Intercession is where I pray for others. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, God tells us to make intercession for all men. So this isn't limited to a certain group. This is intercession that's to be made for everybody. And that's not just in the church. James chapter 5 verse 16 says, pray for one another. That's in the church. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 1, that's anybody inside or outside the church. Who do I need to intercede for? What kind of people need to be in my prayers? Not just what I need. Here's sentence number four. Please be with the families and their children. Maybe specifically my family, my children. Maybe families at church and the children at the church. Do you know how much families need prayer today? Do you know how much the families in this church need prayer today? Do you know how many families in this church are hurting, dealing with conflicts in marriage, dealing with conflict between parents and children that we don't have a clue about? We see them when they're here and we think, wow, they're here. That's great. Everything's going wonderful. We don't have a clue what's going on at home. Lord, please be with our families. The devil's doing everything that he can to tear them apart. But he who is within us is greater than he who is in the world. And all we've got to do is tap into the power of God through prayer and say, God, please be with my family. Please be with the families of my brothers and sisters in Christ. Please be with their precious children. Please be with the very old. Please be with the very young. Lord, please be with the church. Please be with the church around the globe. Please be with our missionaries. Please be with those church plants that we've been a part of. Please be with those congregations that are meeting all around the globe. Please be with this church, but please be with Palm Beach Lakes. Please be with the leaders of the Lord's church who have responsibilities in shepherding, who have responsibilities in overseeing, who have responsibilities in teaching the children of God. Do you know how much your prayers are needed for this congregation? Palm Beach Lakes, in my estimation, is blessed incredibly in a number of different ways. And I'm confident that that blessing is not because of us, and it's not because of our ingenuity. But it is because there are people that are praying, God, please be with Palm Beach Lakes. Do you think God answers that prayer? When you look at the steadfastness, the faithfulness, and the compassionate heart of our elders, do you not think there are people who are praying, God, please be with our elders? Do you think that God will answer that prayer? A prayer of intercession, but not just for the church and its leaders. We need to pray for our nation and its leaders. That passage in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 1 is not just saying that intercession might be made for all men, but it specifies there even for kings and for leaders of nations. How often do you pray for our civil leaders? I know you may not be happy with some of them. I know you may not be pleased with the direction that our nation is going. When was the last time you prayed, God, please be with them? Do you think God hears that prayer? You think He will use us in order to answer that prayer? God, please be with the lost. Please be with their hearts. Paul prayed this. My heart's desire and prayer for Israel is that she might be saved in Romans 10 and verse 1. Do you pray for those who are lost? That their hearts will be softened, that their hearts will open up to the gospel of Christ. You might include in this, and again, none of these lists are exhaustive. God tells us to pray for our enemies. How often do you pray for them? That their hearts might be softened and open to the gospel. God, please be with those who are spiritually weak. With those who I used to see on a regular basis, but I don't see them very often anymore. I used to see them Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, church picnics and special Bible studies, and I used to see them all the time, and Lord, I guess I see them on some Sunday mornings now, but that's, I don't even know if I see them every Sunday morning anymore. And Lord, there's some people I just haven't seen. I haven't seen them in several weeks, and I don't know what's going on, and Lord, please be with them. Please use me to help them. We who are maybe to be considered stronger, Romans 15 and verse 1, need to look out for those who are weaker. We need to lift up their names to the Creator and Sustainer of this universe and ask God to use us, but not just with the spiritually sick. God, please be with the physically weak. We stand here every every time we meet and we talk about those who are in need of prayer. We print a bulletin. We send out family news with those who are in need of prayer. How often do you take that list? Comes out on Thursday, the email list from our family news. We have family prayer on Wednesday night. An email goes out on Thursday with everybody that was mentioned in that family prayer. How often do you stop when you get that email on Thursdays? How often do you stop the world and pray for those on that list? It's an opportunity for us to start a prayer, even if it's just one sentence to God. Lord, please be with and list everybody on that prayer. It's a number of sentences. It could be a part of our prayers. God mentions six. We had three and five. What was your number? Four. Go to six, Brad. We've got two sentences left. I left the last one off, but here's sentence number five. It's the sentence of confession. It's the sentence that when we say to God, please forgive me for. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us. How often do we confess our sins to God? How often do we confess our overt sins, the obvious sins, the sins that I commit, that I know that I have done? God, please forgive me of my overt sins. God, please forgive me of my secret sins. Nobody else knows about them. God, I'd rather you didn't know about them. But I know that you know of every secret thing. I know every secret thing is going to be brought into judgment. God, please forgive me of my secret sins and please help me to overcome them. God, please forgive me of my inadvertent sins. God, there are times I don't mean to, but I know I let you down. There are times when I know I do things, I say things, and I didn't mean to, I wasn't thinking, but I know it was wrong. God, please forgive me. I know there are times, God, there's something that I was supposed to do and I didn't do it. To him who knows to do right and doeth it not, to him it is sin. James 4 and verse 17, God, please forgive me of those sins of commission, those sins of omission, those sins, God, that maybe I didn't mean to do them. God, I need your forgiveness. Please forgive me, God, of my words. Please forgive me of saying the wrong thing. Please forgive me of my thoughts. Please forgive me for even thinking that, for even wanting that, for that even crossing my mind. God, please forgive me. God, please forgive me of my attitudes. God, my attitude wasn't right when I said that. My attitude wasn't right when I did that. My attitude wasn't right when I sought after that. God, that kind of attitude, God, that'll send me to hell. God, please forgive me for my attitudes. How long is your list of things that you ask forgiveness for? This needs to be a sentence in our prayer every day. And then the final sentence is the sentence that Jesus prayed. The sentence of submission that says, not my will. This isn't about me, God. Not about what I want. Not my will. Your will be done. How often do you sit down to pray? When you sit down to pray, what do you pray about? Are there times when you sit down to pray and you feel unprepared for that prayer? Are there times that you sit down to pray and you pray and you think, well, did I forget about something? Is there something that should have been included? When you read what is often referred to as the model prayer in Luke 11 or in Matthew chapter 6, and you read through those sentences that are there, part of that prayer, when you read about the thanksgiving that needs to be a part of our prayer and the intercession that needs to be a part of our prayer throughout the New Testament, when you compile all that the New Testament teaches about prayer, there appear to be about six sentences that could summarize our prayers. When we pray, we need to have a sentence that starts, you are. We need to have a sentence that starts, thank you for. We need to have a sentence that says, please be with. We need to have a sentence that says, please help me. We need to have a sentence that says, please forgive me. And we need to have a sentence that says, your will be done. I would encourage you to keep a prayer list. Whether that be something that's physically written out on a sheet of paper or something that you keep on your phone or your tablet, to keep a prayer list where you can have these six sentences, these six categories of things where you can fill in, God, here's what I need to be praying for, and then even to reflect back upon it and see what you prayed for and see how God has worked in your life to answer those prayers. What an awesome privilege we have to call upon God as our Father, to know He hears every plea and every request that we make, and to know the promise that He will answer it. Are you one of His children tonight? When you look at the question that says, is God your Father? Is the answer to that question yes? Is He your Father? You His child? If you are not one of His children tonight, why don't you become one tonight? Why don't you decide tonight, I have lived outside of the family of God long enough. I want to be one of His children. I want to become one tonight. You can do that just the way that the New Testament teaches. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you've got the right, John 1 and verse 12 says, you've got the right to become one of His children if you believe that He's the Son of God. And then He calls upon you when you have that faith to make a decision. A decision that says, I'm going to repent, change my mind about the way I've been living. Repent, turn away from this sin, and turn toward God and say, God, I want to serve you and stop serving self. Is that the decision you want to make tonight? Decision that says, I'm ready to give my life to the Lord, to obey Him tonight. If you're ready to do that, you can do just as every person in the New Testament that ever became a child of God did. Confess the faith that's in your heart. Be baptized. Immersed into water, so that at that very moment you might be immersed into Christ. Immersed into a brand new relationship with God, that He might wash away your sins, add you to His family, and write your name in heaven. Are you one of His children? Are you one of His faithful children? Serving Him, putting Him first. This church can help you in any way tonight. To leave here tonight as one of His faithful children, why don't you come right now as together we stand and sing.